Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, current California transplant, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and role-emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. Be inspired as you listen to these up-close conversations and be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening, friends. Welcome back, OT friends. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest of honor, Whitney Pendergrass. Whitney is an uncommon occupational therapy assistant whose official title is Clinical Education Assistant for the School of Occupational Therapy at Belmont University. She is a native of Nashville and a graduate of the amazing OTA program at Nashville State Community College. Since graduation, she has spent the majority of her professional career working in pediatrics and some geriatrics sprinkled here and there. But when she's not working, she really loves to spend time with her family. On weekends, you'll find her at the baseball field being a super loud first base coach with the White Sox shirt on. Watching her oldest son play, she also enjoys hiking, swimming, gardening, and napping. So here to tell us more about her uncommon OT role and a little bit more about herself, without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Whitney Pendergrass. Hi, Whitney.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for spending the time with us. I am so excited to highlight your role because it's super unique, and also to highlight your role as an occupational therapy assistant within this role, right? So we're going to touch upon both of that and definitely the more details about your current role. But before we do, I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am definitely the loud first base coach for my son's baseball team. We actually just ended the season and we love baseball. So that's what we're doing a lot of the time. But I have two boys and we live like a little west of Nashville, outside of Nashville on our big family farm. And we love to do all the farm stuff, gardening and hiking and all that kind of good stuff. So we definitely live the country life. And it's really perfect for us. And honestly, besides that, really, I love my my work and what I'm doing right now with Belmont. I mean, I'm so excited to talk to you about that and kind of this new role and everything that we're that Belmont is doing that's new and different. And it's taking up a lot of my time, but it's really exciting and it's really it's going to be a big deal. So I'm excited to share it with you.
Again, thanks for taking the time to share with us. But before we do, keeping everybody in suspense here, right? Before we do, tell me, you know, what motivated you to contribute to my podcast here?
Absolutely. So I'll try to tell you without giving away any hints in the beginning from actually what my position is. So I stumbled upon your podcast through some research. And when I started listening to some of the past podcast episodes and reading their bios, I noticed that there was only one that was an OTA or a CODA. And I thought, we have to have more representation of the occupational therapy assistants. I'm sure there are tons of them in these non-traditional roles. Yes. And, you know, I just really thought I'm going to go ahead and reach out and I'm going to see what she says about being on the podcast and talking about this role. It's just completely different. And I felt really, really motivated to share it with other people. And just continue to advocate and show representation for the occupational therapy assistant because we're just super valuable. And I just think that the sky's the limit, and all OT practitioners can be anywhere doing anything. We have so many skills that we learned in school. So I just think that I want all of them to reach for something new and inventive if that's what they want to do. So.
I love it. Well, you couldn't be more perfect for the podcast in terms of, the uncommon role that you're currently holding, but at the same time, that's coupled with this motivation and this passion and this excitement in your voice, right? Which I'm sure, our listeners can already hear, and can already sense, right? So it's a combination of that that really makes you a perfect guest for this podcast. And we're going to sprinkle in the whole OTA thing there because I'm a big giant fan. I agree 1000% with what you said about your value. We're all coming from the same lens, right? We just have slightly different roles. So I'm glad that you're here today to share with us how you've expanded into your current role. So maybe this would be a good way, a great place to kind of segue into that. Can you tell us about your uncommon OT role?
I absolutely can. So my, like you said in the beginning, my official title is Clinical Education Assistant, and that is with the School of Occupational Therapy at Belmont University in Nashville. And to be a clinical education assistant, it's just a really fancy title for basically my position. I am seeking out non-traditional work, fieldwork placement sites for our doctorate level students. Belmont has an OTD and an MSOT. So right now we're focusing on the doctorate program, and we are trying to get occupational therapy back out into the community settings and the mental health settings. And we are looking for those like role emerging or non-traditional placement settings. So my main focus is building those relationships with places in the community, so that we can get our students in there. And also some of the boring data entry stuff that I have to do, because I do assist both of the MSOT and the OTD field work coordinators. I do assist both of them and just everything field work related. But my main focus and definitely my main passion is getting out in the community and advocating for Belmont occupational therapy, and getting us back into those settings that OT was founded in. So, basically, my non-traditional role is doing extra things that are non-traditional. So.
I love it. And yes, I mean, gosh, on so many levels, I love it. Number one, here you are cultivating these potential placements for students. Number two, Belmont University had had enough sense in them to think, okay, this would be a really great role for an OTA. And also to be able to offer this to their students, right? Because you're out there cultivating these relationships, these pathways, these avenues will be available for these students. So I think it's a win-win all
It is
around.
absolutely. And that was a big component for them when they were looking to fill this role. There was talk about whether it was going to be, it is a staff position, so I'm not faculty, I'm not a teacher. But if the requirements for the position were to have a degree as an occupational therapy assistant, or if they were just going to hire someone into the role. And they really, really pushed for the role to be clinical, for it to be an OTA to be hired into the position, because essentially when we're going out into these non-traditional settings, a lot of these places probably have not heard of occupational therapy, or if they don't are not super familiar with it. And so if you have someone out there advocating and educating that doesn't really know, like you said, the OT lens, they can't really explain it, then how are they going to, you know, how are they going to seal the deal? How are they going to make that connection? And that is, was really kind of like the final part where they said, okay, we're definitely going to hire someone, you know, with an OTA degree into the position. And so I just really, I think Belmont is just super forward thinking with that. Yes. I think that, I mean, ACOTA in this position is just, it's perfect. It just makes complete sense. And then on the other side of that, like you said, you know, I'm working with the OTD students every day and they're mm-hmm. seeing, you know, firsthand the value of ACOTA. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just working alongside their professors and just, it's, I feel like once again, the representation matters and they're already seeing me here. And I just feel like that's just huge. They're already going to go out into the world with a huge step forward. So.
Absolutely. Oh, so congrats. This is so Thank great. You. Okay. So I guess let's take a couple of steps back, right? Because, you know, these positions are few and far between. In fact, as far as you know, or you and I know, when during our conversation, our initial conversation, you're the only OTA that you and I know who holds such a position, right?
Right.
We talked about how, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if every OT program out there created this, you know, sort of position for OTAs and how, mm-hmm. yeah, you'd end right. up with programs like these.
Right. Since we talked last, though, we have hired someone. We have hired another OTA, and she is the, I know, she is the official capstone assistant. So she is doing a lot of what I'm doing, but for the capstone projects for the doctorate level students. So she's been hired. And so we get to collaborate a little bit back and forth together. And we have a lot of the same, you know, some of the sites that they already have communication with, we're going to reach out to and vice versa. So it's really just a great, like, collaborative team. They do, it's just been really thought out well. And so Belmont now has two OTAs. So
fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh, that's so, you know, that's really so promising because, you know, all OTD programs need a capstone assistant, right? And mm-hmm. again, there's this potential role. So I hope our OTA listeners who are really interested in working kind of like in a school setting are getting excited about this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, it's a big deal for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk. Well, maybe let's like take a couple of steps back. Like what drew you to this type of work? Was there anything in particular that drew you to this type of work?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I have always been interested in, you know, kind of like the academic portion. So I have actually, I'm on the board with Nashville State Community College, and the program director there, she's just amazing and a good friend of mine. And she's tried to talk me into finishing out my bachelor so that I could teach there a couple of times. And it's always been something that I've been interested in and that I thought that I would do. And I just haven't gotten around to it, you know, babies and life and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
Life.
Right. But I've always been interested in it. And I always saw myself back at the, you know, at the college level somehow, whether, you know, continuing my education, working, you know, in a program, whatever that might be. So it's, I've always been interested in it. I love to educate others. And I definitely love to, you know, share my knowledge. And so I think because of that, it would just seem like a really, really good fit for me when this opportunity, you know, was presented, because I always just felt like this is where I would be, so, you know, somewhere really similar to this. So it just seemed really effortless how it just kind of fit together.
Oh, I love it. So can you tell us how did you get there? Can you tell us about your path sort of from,
yes.
you know, what you were doing working in pediatrics and geriatrics, and then here you are now?
Yep, absolutely. So the age old saying, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. That definitely comes into play with my specific story, but I do think it's about what you know. You have to know a lot too.
Yes.
So, I, for the majority of my time since I graduated in 2013, I've worked in pediatrics. I worked at mostly outpatient and also the school setting too, which that felt really, that felt really comfortable for me as well. Providing OT in the school system, but mostly outpatient was what I have done. And we worked with speech and PT. Those were the two disciplines that we had there. We didn't have really anything else besides those two, but we would often do different in-services, and we would really, really seek out opportunities to educate, parents, the guardians, speech, and PT on just all things occupational therapy and kind of what we were doing. A lot of the time they would see us in our big gym and in the ball pit and say, what are you like, what's the purpose of what you're doing? And so, right. Because, OT, it's well, play is an occupation. So we would really take the time to educate them and just kind of explain what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I would always take that opportunity to lead those in services if they asked me to. It's something that I enjoy doing, and I never really had a problem with doing the extra work, you can say. So through that, I had a great coworker and friend, and she would also do some of the in-services with us. Usually there were a bunch of us that did, but her and I definitely did a good number of them. And she started working with Belmont, and she is a professor here, and she's the field work coordinator for the OTD program. And so she got this position, and then she right away, as soon as they brought up the role, the clinical education assistant, she said right off the bat that she knew like the person for the job. She was like, I know the person for the job. I know who it's going to be. I can tell you right now, this is the one we want to hire. And it was me that she was talking about, but
Yay!
yay. But she was a little nervous because I had just had a baby and she didn't know if I would be willing to take the role. And so she reached out to me, and I told her I would think about it, and I would let her know. And when it became available, and I read through what it was going to be, I honestly was like, I feel like this job was created for me. I mean, it was just like just written out absolutely for me. And so I said, I can't not at least try and see if I get the position. And so I did, and I did get the position, and I accepted it, and it was just truly really effortless, and it just came about so seamlessly. And Cindy's such a good friend, and I'm so thankful that she thought of me. But honestly, I think the position became available to me because I am just a passionate OT practitioner, and I work hard and I enjoy educating others on occupational therapy. And I think that she saw that, and here I am. So.
I agree 1000%. I mean, this job was designed for you. Our listeners can't see it right now, but I'm sure they can again sense it. But your eyes are lighting up, right? This is such a wonderful, I love it. I always say congratulations, congratulations, when my colleagues are able to kind of bridge it together, right? Something that they love so much, and then their current work or whomever it is that they're servicing. So I always say congrats. Because it's, a lot of folks really kind of search for that, right?
Right, absolutely. And I feel like I landed it. I mean, I told my husband, I said, this is the job of my dreams right here, and I've landed
Oh.
it. So, and I wasn't even looking for it. It found me.
Yes.
So,
Well, again, your efforts, your passions, those are all communicating to the universe, right? To Belmont University, whomever. And they receive the message, and here you are now, both entities, right, kind of mutually benefiting from the collaboration. So, okay. So, thanks for sharing with us how you got there. And I know, you mentioned that it was kind of a lucky thing, right? Like, oh, you happened to meet the right person at the right time. But again, You worked it. You've proven yourself. You've kind of you've auditioned, right? In terms of showing how you can do these in-services, how much you enjoy doing the presentations. I think if you're gonna go out there to talk about OT, you need to like it, right? Because if you don't like talking about OT or explaining OT, then the person receiving that information is going to sense that and is most likely, that's going to project onto that person. So, yeah, I think being able to explain our service, especially in these non-traditional areas or these non-traditional settings, is so important because you first have to look at the bigger picture and then kind of come up with the language or the spiel.
Absolutely. And you don't want to go in and have other disciplines in these settings think that you're trying to take over what they're doing. Because, occupational therapy really does, it just interlaces so well with so many different disciplines. And that's why one of the biggest reasons why I think we're so valuable, because we can fit in all the nooks and crannies, that aren't being filled in by other areas of practice. But sometimes when that's, the overlay is laid and we see where we fit in, other people might see that sometimes as trying to take over what they're doing. And it definitely takes someone, skilled, in occupational therapy to be able to explain to them that no, what we will provide is only going to enhance what you're doing. It's only going to help what you're doing.
So that is such a great, great point. I've found myself in those situations a lot too, just over the years, right? Where I would actually first sit down with staff, right? And just sort of ask them to tell me about their role rather than me tell them about my role initially, right? Because I always start off by saying, look, I want to know what you're offering here, what services are you offering? That way I can, sort of let you know how I can complement what you're already offering. So, I would love for you to share with us what do you say when you go into some of these places initially, right, in terms of introducing OT? And maybe we'll get into that as I ask you to describe to us what's a typical day for you? Because I know you're probably out on the field for some of the time, but then you're also, in campus kind of doing the kind of admin stuff. Can you share with us what your a typical day or maybe a typical week or whatever, however you want to explain to us what happens?
I would love to because honestly, it's different than anything I've ever experienced. So, I mean, before I've done some PRN in skilled nursing, I've done home health, I've done outpatient pediatrics in the school system. I've done different, a lot of different clinical settings. And this is just completely different. And it's really a breath of fresh air in a lot of ways. It's not so much a timeline. Each day is not blocked out. There's not 30 minutes here and 45 minutes here. And so you really have to be self-motivated to get things done because I was hired in my role to have this new, role emerging framework, kind of like created for Belmont, not just myself, but like the fieldwork team. And it has to be, done by next fall. And so, I mean, really, each day is something different and new, and it's not written down on a calendar. You can't like log in and see, your patients for the day. It's completely different. And so right now is summertime, so the campus is pretty quiet, and what I'm doing is a little bit different than what I will be doing by this fall. But right now I am really trying to just lay the groundwork for what's going to be needed starting this fall when we really get our feet wet and really start meeting with clients and different potential sites. So I am learning the admin style stuff, which is like learning how to upload documents into the exact system and learning how to, move files into OneDrive and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes.
You know, some of it I know, but not, I mean, I'm definitely not perfect at it for sure. So learning
There's
a lot
a
of those
learning
kinds of,
curve. Oh,
surely is for sure. But if I can navigate some of these documentation systems, I can figure this one out for sure. So some of it is that, and then some of it is getting familiar with their, policies and procedures and just with the way that Belmont works and the way that they like for their programs to be run. And so specifically right now, we have hired two faculty members that are going to be our embedded faculty members. So the two individuals that will be the, clinical supervisors out at these sites for when our students are out there.
Got it.
And yes, and it's very exciting. So we have an adult geriatric and a pediatric. And I believe they both have been hired. Don't quote me 100%, but I'm pretty sure they both have been hired. And right now I am working on creating the handbook. So essentially like the role emerging non-traditional fieldwork handbook.
Yes.
And it's basically just an outline and a guideline of what to do, kind of how to reach out, how to stay involved in your site and your placement. And for the supervisors, what they can do to best support their students, because neither one of these faculty members have ever done anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just new for everybody. It's new for me. It's new for them. And we have borrowed some components of it. Some other universities have shared with us some things that they did that they felt were really helpful.
Yes.
So we're not reinventing the wheel. We are borrowing some stuff and just making it our own, but it's definitely taken a long time and we're still not done, but
mm-hmm.
each day we're definitely working on that. And then tomorrow we're actually, Cindy and myself are, Cindy is the, fieldwork, coordinator for the OTD program, just in case mm-hmm. anyone forgot that. We're meeting with our first, site tomorrow, actually. So we mm-hmm. are, I'm super excited to meet with them, and they actually reached out to us. So I didn't even get to do my whole spiel that I've practiced when I'm trying to convince people, to let us come. I didn't even get to do that. They reached out to us and wanted us to come meet with them. And we've heard that often from other universities, that once the community hears that this is something that you're doing and that you're seeking placement opportunities, that you will have people kind of reaching out to you more often than not. So that's exciting to be able to have such a good name in the community that people want to work with you. So
yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So can you tell us about that group? Like what population would you be serving there?
Yes. So this group they have two main programs. So the first program that they have is like a vocational style program, and they're on a big farm and they grow crops and have animals, and their clientele are young adults that have a variety of different disabilities. So some are, physical or cognitive, but you have to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a residential program where a good number, I believe it's 20 plus individuals live there with
okay.
them. And the majority of them are also the ones that work in the vocational program. I'm not 100% sure. I think they do allow some people that do not live there to also be in their to be in their vocational program, but I think that is fact, but I'm not 100% sure. But that's basically what it is.
Oh my gosh, how exciting!
I mean, this is
like my cup of tea. Like I'm thinking, why haven't they had OT this whole time? But yes, I see so many opportunities for us at the residential programs, even helping them transition from the residential to the vocational stuff, because that's
mm-hmm.
Those are two very separate things, right?
Yes, and they have had OT over the years, but mostly, mostly volunteer. I think that they had like an OT, like part-time on staff, maybe that would come and help with supervise some people. But they've worked with us before in the past, and then they reached out since kind of post-COVID, I guess, if we can say that, that we are posted. Post shutdown, I should say. And so they reached back out to us and wanted to kind of talk with us about this new model and what we're doing with it. So I'm really excited.
Super exciting. So I know you didn't get to give them your spiel, but do you mind sharing with us what your typical spiel would be?
Yes. Well, absolutely. And I've actually told it to my husband because I talk about these kinds of things all the time. He's like, sure. At this point, he's like, I have a good understanding of what you do, but every day you come home and just, blow me away with something new and something different. But a lot of these places around us are somewhat familiar with, well, they're definitely familiar with Beaumont, but are somewhat familiar with occupational therapy from what I'm finding. But they think that we typically work in skilled nursing, or that it's more of like a biomechanical model, like physical,
Like
you know, it's
hospitals and
exactly. And so essentially I just usually start there because that's oftentimes what they will say. Well, I thought that you worked in a hospital setting doing, arm exercises. And, then I jump right into, well, you might find some of us doing that, some practitioners doing that, but essentially our end goal is function. We want to help people get back functioning with what's meaningful to them. And sometimes that is physical, and other times it's not. Other times it is emotional, other times it's spiritual, other times it's, mental. And so that is where we fit in across the board. And that is how we can help at your facility because A, B, and C. You have social work and nursing, or that's mostly what we're seeing, social work and counseling and those kinds of things. And just filling them in on that, OT, like the foundation of OT was in mental health. And, that, I mean, those limitations can hold people back from doing what's meaningful to them. And that's really where we can come in and be assistants. And like I said before, really just amplify what they're doing. We're kind of like the missing link in a lot of ways. And it's just, that's a big part of it. We don't want to take over. We want to come in and support, and we want to be, we want to fill in the cracks and be that missing link and help them. And most people absolutely see it. We've met with a couple different placements, and they're also different. So like I'm kind of thinking through some of the places we've met with, and they're all really different, and they have different needs. And so like the places that have maybe have children or adults with a variety of different disabilities, a lot of times those people have seen OT, but there are other placements where we've talked with them, and they are like, for instance, one is for men getting back out into the workforce after being incarcerated. And some of those men had seen OT in the prison system, but most of them had not really seen OT on the outside of that system. And so we have to educate those, a lot of the social workers at that facility on what we can do, how we can assist them. And they're not as familiar with us and what we can provide as, like, for instance, someone in like a vocational residential style site. So it's just really different wherever we go. And how we kind of communicate with them and tell them, who we are and what we do. So
Yeah, but no, thanks for sharing with us how you do it, right? Because I think it's, again, it's a lot of it is first assessing who you're speaking with, right? And then kind of seeing how they understand the service and then making, corrections if needed, right? And then
Right.
putting it in the context of, how the service is going to be offered. So, thanks for sharing that. And also just for giving us a glimpse of your, a typical week. So, and even like the administrative things that you would do. So it would have to do with, of course, creating the fieldwork manual and the fieldwork handbook and all the administrative processes that are involved with that, right? But then you
Right.
also have like the field visits where you actually get out of the office, right? Which I think is, I love that.
Absolutely.
Even when I worked in shelters, I like leaving the shelter just to, do community, sort of community integration types of activities. But it's at least
Right.
nice to get out. But at the same time, here you are cultivating and sort of spreading the good OT word.
Right, absolutely.
Ah, I love it. So thanks again. Let's switch gears a little bit, and maybe I can ask you to describe to us, and maybe you have a little bit already, just some recent, challenges and some recent successes that you may have had in your role. I know you talked about having more OTAs on staff, right? And having hired a couple of faculty members to actually provide the non-traditional fieldwork supervision, which is also required, right?
Right. Yes, it is required. Absolutely.
Yes.
And that, so I guess a big success is we are seeing the model kind of come to life. So Cindy and I have been talking about it a little bit. And initially, like before I got hired, she said, we kind of had this thought process of how Belmont wanted to do it. And, and it was really just completely dark. Nobody knew what it was going to look like. And then we hired you on, and it was like a little bit brighter. I could see a little bit of it, and then we interviewed and hired the faculty, and then it's getting a little bit brighter. And now we're doing the handbook and it's getting a little bit more clear. And we're meeting with sites and it's, just growing and evolving. And it's becoming just really exciting to be able to see some of what it is going to look like and what it's going to feel like and how it's going to go. And we know there's going to be growing pains because there always is. It's never, nothing's ever going to just be born and be, just be perfect right off the bat. But I think that we're definitely seeing it kind of come to life, and we feel really good about it, and we feel really passionate about it. And we just want to, we just want to create a really strong and successful model for, for our school and for the staff and for the students, but probably most importantly for these sites that we're going to be working with, because we want to bring value to them. We want to show them, we want to show them all that we can do and all that we can bring. And we want to build strong relationships with them so that we can continue to work with them, but also so that their clients can receive the benefit of our services and learn from our students and our students learn from them. And it's just going to be a really great back and forth. And so we want to make sure it's a good, strong fieldwork model so that it can just be successful across the board.
Well, the thoughtfulness that you're putting into the planning, right? And the intention, right? I think that it also starts from there. It's like, what are you intending to do with this, right? And that just matches up so nicely. So with those two killer combos, I think you guys are setting yourself up for success.
I think so.
So any challenges? Ugh, I always think like I should start with challenges and then ask a success question. But challenges are real, right? So any challenges in your role?
I haven't really run into a lot of them yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've honestly, I just have not hit a lot of them, and I'm one of those people that if something's difficult for me, I just really try to work through it. And also, I think like here, there's not a time crunch for things, at least not right now. Call me next fall and I'll let you know if there have been challenges. But right now, there's just not really a lot. And so I have the time to go through and make sure that I'm doing everything, you know, to the best of my ability. And it's definitely, I've been set up for success because they did have to fight for me to be hired on a little bit earlier. Originally, they didn't want to hire anyone in this role until like August. And so they fought to have it in March so that we could go ahead and have the summer to collaborate before we hired on the faculty members. And I'm really thankful for that. They really set it up for success. And I feel like they just have really paved just a really, really strong pathway for me. And so no challenges so far, really.
Oh,
Learning curves,
fantastic.
but no challenges. So
Oh, that's so great to hear, you know, and I'm sure your approach, your perspective has a great deal to do with that. How you're not, you know, they're not challenges. They're just like things that happen throughout the day, right?
I'm
It's
like,
totally your approach and, you know, how you see those each of those occurrences happening. But then I started thinking as you were speaking, you just had a baby too, right? So I'm sure like life at home is pretty hectic. But again, it just shows like how the role is meant for you. It was designed for you because you've got the temperament for it, right? You've got the discipline, you've got the, yeah, just the motivation that's also required. I know kind of anything field work related is challenging, just because there's this whole shortage of sites, right? And you're initially on under the gun, you're under pressure of having to kind of create placements. And you know, I know you have a team, but still there's still a lot of pressure there. But you know, again, your approach to it is just wonderful and positive and really refreshing.
Thank you. Well, I definitely, I mean, Cindy does have placements fall through and she is finding things like on at the drop of a hat and she's and Camille is our MSOT academic coordinator, fieldwork coordinator, and she is also finding sites at the drop of a hat. And I have not had to do that, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm hopeful in this role that it will that because these sites are non-traditional, that it won't. Usually, what falls through is the CI at the place is not going to be able to take the student, or they're leaving that role, or they are moving to another state, or whatever it is. So usually it's because of whoever is going to be you know, the field work supervisor at that site. And so I'm hopeful that since we have our supervisor and we're moving her into the facility, I'm hopeful that that will limit you know, limit those drop of a hat finding placements, because hopefully when the site is in agreement, then we're going to all be in agreement. But so I think that's going to build a much stronger foundation for this model, because they're going to be less likely to kind of bail at the last minute, you know, for lack of a better word. So
And I'm also thinking, you know, just having been on the other side, right? I've been the field work sort of like educator on the at the sites. It's refreshing to kind of have the same person, right? Because I mean, usually there's a turnover of staff, right? So you may actually get a different OT working there who's going to be supervising your students, but now you're basically sending your own, you know, your own people, right? Someone who knows the student well. So you're there isn't that having to match the place up with the, you know, the clinical instructor with a student factor. You can do that beforehand. And in fact just, you know, make sure that the site is a good match for the student.
Exactly. And that's definitely a part, you know, a component too. We want the student to feel comfortable with where they're going, and we want the site to feel comfortable with the students that they're getting. With this being a non-traditional model, each day is probably going to look different. And I mean, your challenges are going to arise that are not your typical traditional challenges too. And so the students are going to, you know, are going to need to be willing to take on some of those challenges. And so I think that that's another great point. We're going to have the opportunity for the faculty to really kind of handpick the best, the best students for these sites, and that way that the student can learn the most and the site can benefit the most.
Yes, I think you have definitely more opportunity to do that within this model. Oh, so excited to gotta talk more about this next year, just to kind of see where we're at, right?
Yeah, a little follow-up, huh?
yes. But let's talk a little bit about money matters. I know we touched upon it a little, just in terms of, the type of position. What it's slotted for, right? How it's not a clinical position necessarily. However, they wanted to hire a clinical person, but then it's the sort of under the, I can't think of the word, but not category, but not slot, but it's more of like a salary terminology when it comes to schools. Anyway, I'll edit this part out because I'm just rambling away right now. But what is the word that I'm thinking? Sorry, I'm making you like play trivia with me now. But anyway, talk to us about Money Matters.
Okay. So yes, it is a salary position, which I think this might be my first salary position. Yeah, it is my first salary position. So every other position has been hourly. So this is my first salary position. And it is a staff position. So I'm not faculty, I am staff. And but they did want someone clinical for the role. So they wanted an OTA for the position. So I don't know how they factored in, money and salary. I do feel like potentially it being a wanted someone clinical for it that did factor in a little bit, I would feel like, just because of what I was would be making out in the field. So I do feel like that factored in a little bit, but I don't know for sure. But I am making a fair salary around the same amount of what I was making when I was out in the clinical world. And I would say it is very comparable, especially when you factor in the benefits that are provided through Belmont University, which are pretty awesome. And so when you factor those in, it's definitely worth it for sure. They do provide a little bit of like a hybrid flexible work schedule. So I am able to work remote 1 to 2 days a week. Then, when I go visit the field work site and placements, I don't have to come back to the office. So if there's a like tomorrow, the site we're visiting tomorrow is out towards my home. So I'm able to go there and then go back home and finish up work at home. And so I don't have to drive all the way back to the office. So there's lots of flexibility too. And so I mean, as a whole, I would say it's very, very comparable to what I was making out in the clinical side of it. So I was really pleased when I found that out. So.
Oh, well, good to know. I'm sure, our listeners are excited about that. May I ask if tuition reimbursement is something that's included, just in terms of, I don't know if you wanted to get your own OTD, right? Or pursue, your schooling further at Belmont, would that be included?
Yes. So I for the employee, you can get one master's degree at 75% off. So that would be, for me, and I could get my master's at 75% off. My after I've been here for 2 years, my spouse can get his undergraduate for free, and my children can get their undergraduate for free.
Fantastic. I know you have little kids, so they're a little ways from college, but it's kind of promising.
It's very promising. Yeah. So at hopefully,
Schooling is expensive nowadays, so.
and that's my plan. I'm like, as long as you'll have me, I'll just stick around till then for sure. So,
And so my kids are done with college.
right. Yes, exactly. So definitely some huge perks to being here for sure. So they're so just giving with that Belmont is. I mean, I was just kind of blown away. So I haven't decided how, you know, what I'll do with that, but it is an option. So we'll see.
Well, I love that it's an option for you and your entire family, it sounds like, in a couple, you know, by next year. And yeah, I think it's, you know, again, like for most OTAs that I know, there's always sort of like this aspiration to take it the next step, right? And, you know, not only does this position, not only is this position well suited for an OTA, but it also allows that OTA to elevate onto the next level without, you know, in a realistic manner, right? Because it's kind of impossible to go to school and, you know, have to work and do all of those things all at the same time. And I know some super, you know, humans, superhuman OTs out there are doing it. But that's really challenging. So I think this is just a more, much more realistic option. And I love that you have that option for you and your family.
Yes, I do too. It's really great. And I know some that do it too, but I don't know when they sleep. So,
yes. I mean, OT school is not a breeze. It's not a walk in the park. Mm-mm. So great. Any career advice? I know we have touched upon some of that already too, but any career advice for our OTA listeners out there who are interested in, you know, kind of coming into this type of work or doing work, uncommon OT work like this?
Yes, absolutely. I think the biggest one is just don't limit yourself. You know, don't put yourself in a box. You know, always keep your eyes open and ears open for opportunity, especially opportunity that, you know, piques your interest, things that you feel passionate about or interested in. I mean, if someone would have told me in 2013 that I would have been, you know, working at, you know, within the OT program at Belmont, I would have been like, what? No way. So, I mean, just always keep those options open. And even if it seems like it's more work, you know, but you enjoy doing it, like for me with the in-services, you know, if you're wherever you're working, you know, if those things become available, you know, offer your services, offer your knowledge. I mean, I know so many OTAs that are just so smart. I mean, just brilliant. And they have the OT brain and the OT lens so strong. And they are just so creative and so forward thinking. And I mean, just truly like just they blow my mind sometimes. Yes. And I just think that none of them should put themselves in a box. Always be available. Always keep your eyes open for the next opportunity. And you are, you know, you're qualified. You are skilled and you're qualified and you're capable. And if it piques your interest, then you should totally go for it. I mean, I just think, especially with, you know, how the world is going, I think it's just so important to always push to do the things that make you happy. And those jobs are out there. I mean, yes. I am in it right now. So it is absolutely out there.
That sounds so inspirational. Are there any, yes, it does. And I, you know, I get you. We're singing from the same choir is what I always say, you know, we're singing the same tune. But yeah. But again, such great advice, right? You're your own, you set your own limitations. So definitely keeping an open mind and being open to opportunities.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. Are there any common myths or misconceptions that you'd like to call out about your current role? I know your role is new and you're just learning your role.
Yeah, no, I haven't really encountered a lot of them in this role. So I don't really know of any of those right now. I will say that a lot of the time out in the field, there are definitely times where I know OTAs that work and don't always feel respected or valued in their place of work. Mm-hmm. I have usually always felt that way in every place I've worked. I've worked with amazing, amazing OTRs, and I'm super thankful for that. But I will say that coming into this role, I have felt so supported and so valued. And just everyone here just absolutely takes looks at me and listens. I mean, I feel like an 100% part of the team. And I think that that's just super, 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 super important too, because you want to make sure that you don't want to go into a new role feeling like you're not, that you're not equal, that you're not part of the team. And I mean, they're just amazing here. I'm like, these are the happiest people on the planet. Like they're so great. So I definitely will say that, maybe not a myth or a misconception, but I know that I have talked to people in the past out in their field where they just don't always feel that way. And, I've been blessed to feel that way, but I definitely feel that way here, to the next level. So that's been really nice.
Oh, congrats to you both, Belmont and you, right? You found each other. They knew they wanted you. They sought you out because you're amazing. But again, this feeling of being valued, being heard, being seen, right? And that your voice matters. What you they want to know what you think about the big picture and what what you might suggest for that, which is, I think really part of what motivates me personally as a worker. Like when a boss asks me, like, "Hey, what do you think? What do you think we can do here?" Or what tell me some of your ideas related to this, right? That's when I get more pumped up and that's when I get more excited. So I love that that's come up, and I love that again, you're in this environment where, it sounds like a really healthy place to work. And I laugh because, that's rare.
It is. It absolutely is. So it has really been wonderful. And I mean, they do. They ask you all the time, what are your thoughts on this and that? Not just our program director, but I mean the president, of the university, HR, they want to know what people think about that. I mean, it's just really great. So I feel like across the board, everyone is valued really well here. So it's been really refreshing because that definitely doesn't always happen.
No, but again, I feel that you're drawn to each other, right? Your personality, your skills, your what they need, what their needs were, and you mentioned the word team earlier, and the team has to be cohesive, right? You can have plenty of teams. I've been part of plenty of teams, but it's the cohesive teams that really, that I was most excited and felt most passionate about being a part of. So it sounds like you've got yourself a cohesive team over there at Belmont University.
Yes, we do. We definitely do. And it's gonna be good. Those collaborative, cohesive teams, those are the ones that are successful. And so our end goal is to be successful for all parties involved. So
So thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with us, Whitney. I hope that other universities will, tune in to this episode, right? And sort of find inspiration and, actually sort of cultivate or create these roles, these positions, for OTAs because they're, I mean, it again, sounds like it's a win-win for everyone.
That would honestly be, I mean, my biggest goal, I guess, and kind of effort with reaching out and talking about this is that every OT school out there to look and see, do you have an opportunity for an OTA on your staff? What benefits would that bring to your staff? And and then bring it up to your dean and just see where that goes. But I can tell you at Belmont, it is definitely working, and we are seeing. I mean, it's been really awesome. So you, my hope is that it would be, happen all over, and that OTAs would benefit, and universities will benefit, and just that collaborative role will just continue to grow. So.
Yes, let's hope everybody follows your model. If folks wanted to, ask questions about how you made this happen, what do you say to the dean to convince them? Is it okay for them to reach out and contact you?
Absolutely. Yep. I think my email will be probably in the show notes.
Yes.
Okay. So absolutely. Yeah, they can totally reach out in email. Maybe just put in the subject like that they heard me on the podcast. So I
Yeah.
pay attention to it. Yeah. But absolutely.
Thank you so much again, Whitney, for joining us, for spending the time. And I'd love to have you back again next year to talk about chapter two and see what this
Yes.
amazing program is.
That sounds perfect. I would love to do that. And thank you for having me. Been so good to talk about it.
That wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.